Reading from Surrender Unto Me, an overview of the Bhagavad Gita. This is the beginning of chapter 9, the most confidential knowledge. This is the comment before the first verse of the chapter. Chapter 7 and chapter 9 share various themes. Hearing from Krishna in chapter 7, that was in the first two verses, and in chapter 9, the first two verses. The relationship between Krishna and material nature, chapter 7, 4 through 7, and chapter 7, text 12, and chapter 9, 4 through 10. Krishna's potency manifested within matter in chapter 7, that's text 8 through 11, in chapter 9, text 16 through 19. Worship of demigods contrasted with worship of Krishna. Chapter 7, text 20 through 23. Chapter 9, text 20 through 28. And the impersonalist's knowledge of Krishna contrasted with that knowledge of devotees. Chapter 7, text 24 through 26. And chapter 9, text 11 through 15. Despite those thematic similarities, chapter 9, not 7, is entitled The Most Confidential Knowledge. Srila Prabhupada writes in his first purport to this chapter, the matters which are described in the ninth chapter deal with unalloyed pure devotion. Therefore, this is called The Most Confidential. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes Krishna's explanation of the progression within the Gita chapters as follows. The knowledge useful for liberation taught in the second, third, and subsequent chapters is confidential. The knowledge useful for attaining me, Krishna, taught in the seventh and eighth chapter is more confidential, because by that knowledge, the truth about the personality of Godhead is known. That knowledge is the science of devotional service. In this chapter, however, the word knowledge needs to be interpreted as meaning bhakti. It is not the same knowledge as described in the first six chapters. That was the end of the segment of the comment of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and our comment continues. In the eighth chapter, Krishna explained that his devotee, fixed solely upon him, Ananya, surpasses both the path of light and the path of darkness. In this chapter, Krishna will explain, again without being prompted by Arjuna, how to become an Ananya Bhakta. It starts with hearing. Text 1, chapter 9. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence. Comment. The first three verses of this chapter glorify its contents. Later, Krishna will describe his inconceivable opulence, which will help fix a non-envious soul in unswerving devotional service by increasing his knowledge, appreciation, and awe. This verse makes three points. One becomes advanced by hearing about Krishna. One must be non-envious to hear properly. And three, one becomes free from material miseries when he hears properly and cultivates devotional practices. Text 2. Krishna continues, this knowledge is the king of education. It is the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting, and it is joyfully performed. Comment. Susukam indicates that this knowledge will bring us great happiness and that its application, devotional service, is joyfully performed. Bhakti yoga is joyfully performed because it entails using our senses in Krishna's service. Bhakti yoga does not require, as Jnana yoga does, that we renounce all activities. Renouncing sense activities does not bring joy, but rather dryness and misery. Bhakti yoga is also easy to perform. As we will find out in text 26, a devotee need offer Krishna only a leaf, a flower, fruit, and water to satisfy him. Pure devotional service is beyond the modes of nature, and it is transcendental to liberation. Therefore, it is eternal. Avayam implies that a devotee's advancement can never be destroyed. Shri Valadev Bidyabhusan asserts that Rajavidya Rajaguyam indicates, quote, the knowledge of kings, the secret of kings. It is, quote, the knowledge, or more exactly, the meditational worship of those who, like kings, have magnanimous, compassionate hearts. They are unlike the cripple-hearted karmis who worship demigods with the desire to attain sons and other material benefits. Kings, even when they fail to hide their treasures of gems and other valuables, keep their private counsel very hidden. In the same way, even when my devotees do not conceal other kinds of knowledge, they keep this knowledge concealed. The end of the comment by Srila Baladeva Vidyabhusan. The word pavitram means that this knowledge purifies all four stages of sinful reactions. Srila Prabhupada in his purport quotes a verse from the Padma Purana to substantiate this point. Different stages of reactions to sinful activities can be observed. Some reactions are already fructified and they are giving us distress and pain, parabdha. Sinful reactions may be just waiting to take effect, phalon mukha, and reactions may be still further dormant, kuta, or the reactions may be in a seed-like state, bija. In any case, all types of sinful reactions are vanquished one after another if a person engages in the devotional service of Lord Vishnu. Srila Balaya Vidyabhusana says, because this dharma, bhakti yoga, is so joyfully performed, one may wonder who would remain in samsara. Krishna addresses this point in the next verse, text 3. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of enemies. Therefore, they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. Comment. The faithless cannot attain Krishna. Despite Krishna's repeated words, they cannot accept the supreme position of bhakti. Thus they take birth again and again in this world. Krishna has completed his glorification of the knowledge he will speak. In the next group of verses, text 4 through 10, he begins describing his own achintya-bheda-bheda relationship with the material world. And we shall end here and continue soon, Krishna willing. Hare Krishna.